Well, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. This is a very common parable of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's found also in Matthew and Mark, but we will be looking at Luke's account. So let us read the Word of God. Luke 8, 4 through 15. And a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him. He said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and it, as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, he who has an ear, let him hear. As he calls out to you, you who have ears in this place, hear, listen to the word of God. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. I'll flip real quick to Matthew's account. He explains it fuller. I'll just read it to you. You will indeed hear, but never understand. And you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and with their eyes, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. This is the crowd to whom Christ is speaking, and he's explaining the parable to his disciples. He goes on to say, now the parable is this. There in verse 11 of Luke 8, the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard the word. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But they have no root. They believe for a while, and in the time of testing fall away. As for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked out by the cares of the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for what is in the good soil, they are those who hear, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. This parable today that I've read in your hearing, it's a timeless parable. And in every assembly, wherever the word of God is preached, this parable is happening. It's not just a story about a farmer. It's not just a story of Christ in some olden times that has no bearing on our lives today. This word is happening right now. It's this very moment. As the word of God is being sown, it is landing on four and only four kinds of hearts. So as I go through this word, ask yourself, which one of these hearts most can I identify with? And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. I'm not going to ask you, okay, who in here represents the path and the stony ground, the thorny, where the word is sown among the thorns? Who in this place represents that? No, I'm asking you with honest introspection to look in your own heart in the experience of your life as you hear the word of God, how you respond to it. Because that will tell you the condition of your soul. That will tell you the condition of your heart. The word of God is going forth. And I don't stand before you this morning to orate a speech. I don't come to tell you and relay irrelevant information. This is the word of God. This is the word of Jesus Christ. The word of life. The word that has the power to save. These are matters of heaven or hell for every single person in this room. These are matters of heaven and hell for you. This is the Word of God. And there are only four types of people, only four categories, not a fifth. This Word includes every single person in this room. So as you hear the Word of God, how do you respond? As I said, the way you respond to the Word of God exposes your heart. So I'll briefly introduce the audience to whom Christ is speaking, and then I'll work my way through each of the four types of soil, seeking to explain them a little bit more so that you may be able to, again, identify yourself among these four. There are only four hearts, four hearers of the Word of God. So ask yourself, is this me? How do I respond to the Word of God? How am I responding even now to the Word of God? And then in conclusion, I'll leave you with some specific application for each of the four kinds of hearers. Again, we're in Luke chapter 8, verse 4 through 15. And it's of first importance to consider the audience to whom Jesus is preaching. Look there in your Bibles. Verse 4. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to Jesus, he began to teach this parable. Imagine for a second, people from every surrounding town, people from San Marcos and Cibolo and all the surrounding areas from Windcrest. They're all gathered together to hear the word of Jesus. And what does he say? It's amazing. Christ isn't bursting into some biker bar. He isn't bursting into a brothel and preaching these words. He's not standing up in a marketplace just throwing the word of God out to some random passersby. No, this is a specific message to the people who sit in that place, who had gathered, who had set apart time in their days. Who had set apart time in their days to go hear the word of Jesus. He was preaching to a specific audience, people who had left their jobs, people who had set aside their chores. Just cheers my heart to see you. People who had stopped their daily chores and activities, people who were going to set apart time to seek out Jesus and to hear what he had to say and to hear the word of God. These are people exactly like the people sitting in this room. You could have slept in this morning, but you didn't. You could be watching football right now, but you're not. You have set apart time in your life, in your day, to come hear the Word of God be preached. These people are just like every single one of you in this room. So listen to the words that Jesus has to say to these people, and listen to the words that Jesus has to say to you. So let's begin. As Jesus tells the parable of the soil, look there. He goes through and he says, explains just the story end of it, the parable end of it, about a farmer going around sowing seed. He goes verse 5 through 8, and at the end says this, he calls out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." As if to say, everything that I've been telling you to this point, pay attention, remember it, don't let it slip away. This is important. This bears on your very soul. You who have ears, hear what the Word of God says. Jesus didn't waste words. Everything was of significance, but he points this out. And by and large, the crowd was probably wondering about why Jesus is telling them about some farmer. Some farmer probably off in the distance throwing seed. "Jesus, we see it. Why are you telling us about this?" And most of them just sit there in oblivion, don't even really consider it. We see that it's the disciples who ask him, "Jesus, tell us the meaning of this parable. We know there's more to the story. Tell us more." So we'll pick up in verse 11. As Jesus begins to explain the parable to his disciples. Verse 11. "So now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God." People, I'm the sower. And your hearts are the field. Your hearts are either the path, they are either the rocky soil, they are either the thorns, or they are the field. Only that. So we'll look at each of these types of soil. Verse 12. "The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved." As I said, this parable is happening right now. And I pray that the Lord is keeping the enemy away from these words. But there is a good chance that Satan even now is seeking to pluck up the words that are coming forth from my mouth from this book so that you may not believe and be saved. There's a high likelihood of it going on. How do you hear the word of God? These are people who hear sermons, but they don't pay attention. They don't apply it to their lives. They're distracted and disinterested. They're indifferent to the word of God, and they come away no different from when they came in. Does this describe you? And many a professing Christian, many who name the name of Christ, many who sit in churches are in this exact state. Sunday after Sunday, they allow the devil to snatch away the seed of the word of God from their hearts. Week after week, they live on without faith, without fear, and without grace. Feeling nothing, caring nothing, taking no interest in Christ as if he had never came and died upon the cross. The word of God doesn't seep into the conscience, and it doesn't make the least impression on their lives. As fast as the word falls upon their ears, Satan snatches it away and plucks it up. And in this state, they die, they're buried, and they go to hell. These are people who hear the word of God. We're not talking about some pagans out there. We're talking about people who come and set aside time in their lives to hear the word of God. They read their Bibles. They listen to preaching. They may even be sitting in this room this morning. In them, the prophecy is fulfilled. You will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull. And with their ears, they can barely hear. How are you hearing? And their eyes, they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn and I would heal them. It's amazing. If this is you in this place, what does it say? The prophecy, this word is fulfilled by God, and it's going to either be fulfilled by the hardening of your heart or it's going to be fulfilled in your conversion. But look what it says. They have closed their eyes. Don't close your eyes. Don't plug your ears this morning. If this has been you up until this point, open your ears, open your eyes, hear the word of God, turn and you will be saved. He says, should they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their heart and turn repentance, I would heal them. Turn and be healed. So does this describe you when you read the Bible or listen to preaching? Is this you this morning? You hear but don't understand. You see but don't perceive. You just don't get it. You don't understand. And there's no shame in this. This is the natural state of every single person as they're born into this world under sin, a son of Adam, a son or daughter of Adam. Ears closed to the word of God, spiritually blind. They may go to church, they may hear sermons, but on the way home, it's as if they've heard nothing. The truth has no effect, it has no bearing, and it has no influence in their life. Again, is this you? The reason for this is because Satan snatches away the word of God from their hearts so they won't believe and so they won't be saved. Because Satan knows that faith comes through hearing and hearing by the word of God. And if he can pluck up the word from your heart before you'll consider it, before you'll take it into account, before it lays hold of your conscience and you would turn, he knows if he takes that seed from your heart, you will not believe. If he can pluck up the very means of salvation in your life, you will not be saved. Beware, because even now Satan goes around, roaming around as a lion, as it were, seeking whom he may devour. Listen to the schemes of the devil. It says that he steals the word of God from the heart. He also blinds the mind of unbelievers. Listen to the words of Paul. Even if our gospel is veiled. I mean, is the gospel just veiled to you? Do you not see the glory in the depths of it? When it's set before you, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, that he would come and bear our sin, that we would be saved, that we wouldn't have to go to hell, but that we could spend eternity with Him. Do you hear that gospel and is it veiled to you? It's because Satan did it. The gospel is only veiled to those who are perishing. If the gospel is veiled to you, if it's still but a mystery that can't even be thought of, can't even be grasped in the least, if it's not changed your life, it's because you're perishing. It says, In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of God, who is the image of God. The light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Is the gospel veiled to you? Or is it the glory of Christ to you? Is it the very light of your life? Is it the light that shone out of darkness to show you the glorious image of God in the face of Christ? Or is it veiled? How is the gospel to you? The heart of man is hardened. These are the ones who are likened unto the path. Their hearts are as hard as that sidewalk out there. The heart of man is hardened by indifference. It's hardened by pride. And it's hardened by sin. And beware of the things that would harden your heart and callous it to the Word of God. Beware even now if you're just stirring in your seat and have no desire for these words. If it's not even arousing fear in your own heart, a desire to turn and be healed. Be aware. Be afraid. Undoubtedly, there will be some of you who will say, my heart's not hardened. I mean, I'm in church this morning. Like, come on. I mean, I read my Bible. I listen to preaching. But how different are you from the very ones that Jesus is speaking to? But yet he tells them of a heart that's so hard that is nothing but a dinner plate for Satan to come and pluck up the word. So they will not believe. They too listen to the preaching of the word of God. The Jews in the crowd would have memorized the Pentateuch at a young age. They were acquainted with the word. Many of you may be familiar with David Brainerd. It is said of him that he read his Bible through twice a year before he was converted. He hated the idea of original sin. He didn't like the justice of God. He was lost, but he read his Bible through twice a year and he was unconverted. I'm not talking about if you're reading your Bible or if you go to church or listen to preaching. Does the Word of God have any bearing on your life? Is it a light unto your path? Does it shape and mold your life? And if such is the case of those who actually listen to preaching and read their Bibles, what is to be said of you who do not? Who don't place a high priority on the Word of God? What is to be said of you? God wrote you a letter of mercy and you do not read it. He reveals the glory of His nature. He proclaims the Word of life. He declares the truth that can set you free, all of which in this book, but you will not open it. What is to be said of you who don't even read, who don't even hear? Rightly did Spurgeon say, there's dust enough on some of your Bibles to write damnation on it. I don't say hard words for the sake of hard words. I'm too broken for that. These are souls. Do you recognize these are people in this life, in this very room, who will pass away into eternity and go to hell? Eternity. I've not come here to be harsh. I say tough words to break through hardened hearts in hopes that you would be saved. They hear the word, but it doesn't change their lives and it has no bearing on their life. There are no signs of life and they have no fruit. These are the ones beside the road where the seed is sown. And these are some of you. Moving on to the second type of person who hears the word of God. Verse 13. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, they receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while. And in the time of testing, they fall away. The rocky soil. And this type of heart is much like the ground on my side of town. There's a thin layer of topsoil, but beneath it, it's as hard as rock. And this is the heart of some of you in this place. There appears on the surface a willingness to receive the Word of God. There appears on the surface some interest in the things of God. There appears on the surface, it appears that you're a Christian even. But just beneath that thin surface, that thin veneer, it's nothing but stone. They appear to receive the Word of God. They look like they're ready to follow Christ. But below the surface, their hearts are as hard as rock. They receive the Word of God for a moment, and even with joy. But in the time of testing, in the time of tribulation, in the time of temptation, they fall away. Does that describe you? Is that you in this place? Preaching that only produces temporary impressions, but not deep, lasting change. They may take pleasure in hearing sermons, and they can speak of apparent joy and enthusiasm about the things of God. They can be moved to tears. They can talk earnestly about inward conflicts, hopes, struggles, desires, and fears. But they have no stability, and they have no root in themselves. So they believe only for a while, and then fall away. Sometimes these people fall away immediately. Sometimes these people fall away after a year. Sometimes they fall away after 10 years. And sometimes it's the smallest thing that causes them to fall away. Maybe they hear that somebody said something about them and they were offended. Maybe it's a hard word that's preached. Like many who turned away from Christ when He taught hard words. Oftentimes it's some deep-rooted idol that's exposed. Maybe some relationship. Maybe it's a sin issue they're unwilling to cut off. And oftentimes it's a matter of wanting their own will versus submitting to the Lordship of Christ. It says, then temptation comes, or a test whether they'll choose God or sin, and they fall away. And such was the case with me when I first started to feel the convictions of sin. I'd go to church, I'd receive the Word of God, I'd try to clean up my life, only to stand until the next temptation came. I'd experience some measure of success. Then the test, whether I choose Christ or choose sin, and then I'd fall again, back into the same cycle, and it would just start over and over and over. You have momentary joy hearing the Word. There's momentary joy as you see some forms of self-renewal, of cleaning yourself up, some signs of joy in receiving the Word of God, but only to fall away in temptation, and the cycle goes on and on. And this is not a cycle because you're a carnal Christian. It's not a cycle because you're just in process. It's a cycle because you're unregenerate. It's because there's only a thin layer of soil. It's because your heart is still a heart of stone. It's resistant to the Word of God. You see, I'd take His salvation, but not at the cost of repentance. I'd take His blessings, but I'd just kick against His Lordship. I would not bow the knee. It says here in the Word that they receive the preaching. They receive God's Word with joy and even believe, but only for a while. And how readily people say in this day that they are Christians. Oh, I believe. I believe in Jesus. I believe in God, of course. Like, who doesn't? How readily people will say that. But I assure you, a great many of this people also in this place believe in God, believe in Christ, believe the Word of God, but they're still unsaved and under the wrath of God. James says that even demons believe and tremble, but they're not safe from the judgment of God. Satan believes in Christ. Satan believes the Bible. But he is not saved. He has no Savior. James also says, belief that isn't followed by obedience, that isn't proven by good works, is only superficial and will not save. You say you believe in Christ and believe His Word, but has your belief produced a fundamental and permanent change in your life? So much so that you're a whole new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. There's repentance. It's caused you to abandon sin and follow Christ. Has there been a fundamental change? I'm not talking about turning over a new leaf. I'm not talking about starting to go to church and you're the same old person. No, this change affects you at the very core of your being. It's in your entire makeup. It's a fundamental change. It's likened unto being born again, to becoming a new creation. It's likened unto... There's no mystery when my son was born. And it's no mystery when a child of God is born either. Speaking of true conversion, it's fundamental and it's a permanent change. It's faith that proves true because it continues all the way until the day that you die. It continues even throughout eternity. It's faith that endures trials and tests, that proves true and results in the praise at the day of Christ's appearing. It's permanent change because he who has begun a good work completes it. If he started a good work in you, he will finish it. Those whom he predestined, he also calls. Those whom he calls, he also justifies. Those whom he justifies, he also glorifies. There's no falling away here. There's no falling away in true conversion. There's no going back to the world. It's a faith that endures. It's permanent. It's not belief for a while. It's not following Christ for a season. Jesus said, no man who has put their hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. The stony heart, it shows signs of life. There's joy for a moment. There's belief for a little while. They come to church for a season. They appear to be Christians. But then their joy begins to wane. They no longer receive the truth. Their heart becomes cold to the word of God. They become indifferent. They give way to sin. Obedience compromises. Attendance is sporadic. Then, as John says in 1 John 2:19, they go out from us, speaking of the church. For they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. I tell you again, true conversion, true receiving of the word of God is permanent. It's lasting. It's not joy for a moment. It's not obedience for a season. It's following Christ all the days of your life. Hear the word of God. Receive it with joy. Believe for a while, but in times of testing, they fall away and they bear no fruit. This is the evidence that there's been no real work of the Spirit of God in your life. This is the stony-hearted hearer. So we have those who go to church, who sit under the preaching of God's word, but their heart is as hard as the street. And then Satan comes and plucks the word of God out of their hearts so they will not believe and be saved. There are also people who receive the word of God with joy. They believe for a while, but when testing comes, they fall away to their own destruction. Then there are those who hear the word of God, whose heart is overgrown with thorns. Luke 8, verse 14. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and the riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not come to maturity. And we're given a number of thorns. Christ gives them, he names them specifically, the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this world. All of which will choke out the word of God and render you unfruitful and damned. Jesus makes it very clear. Every tree that does not bear fruit is cut off and thrown into the fire. So the question is again, do you bear fruit? Christ names specific thorns that will choke out the word of God. First, he mentions here the cares of this life. What are these? Matthew 6 gives us a few of them. Anxiety over one's life, food and drink, clothes, health, and we can add beauty. All of which the Gentiles seek after, not the person who's been saved, not the true Jews, but the Gentiles, those of this world, it's that which they seek after. The cares of this world are their preoccupation. That's where their affections are seated, on the things of this world, not on the things of God. Where are your affections? What do you delight in? What do you desire when you leave this place? What will you seek to do? What's your ambition? The cares of this life are fixing your eyes, your focus, your pursuits on the things of this world and not eternity. It's not seeking the things that are above where Christ is seated, but rather seeking the things, the riches, the pleasures, the comforts of this world. All of which choke out the Word of God. All of which will distract you from following Christ wholeheartedly. All which will render you fruitless and condemned. There's also the deceitfulness of riches. How many souls have the deceitfulness of riches condemned? How many people have lost their soul in pursuit of the American dream? How many people have failed to plan for eternity as they plan for a comfortable retirement? Listen to the Word of God. It says this: those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that what? That plunge people into their ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. The shameful thing is many of you in your pride will say, I can pursue the riches of this world as a primary focus and try to keep Christ in my back pocket. Just keep Christ with me a little bit and I won't fall to destruction. That's pride, and pride goeth before a fall. Those who seek to be rich in this life, those who seek the pleasures and the cares and the riches of this life, plunge themselves into destruction. But it says, but as for you, O man of God, what does it tell us to do? It says, O man of God, hear Paul speaking to Timothy, but I say this to you all, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. Those are the things to be pursued in this life. Christ is to be pursued in this life. Godliness is to be pursued in this life, not the cares of this world. Cares of this world are passing away, and it takes those whose hearts are so knit to them, it takes them with it. And then there are the pleasures of this life. Pleasures. 1 Corinthians 6 and Galatians 5 state this as a matter of fact. Do not be deceived. The sexually immoral, the adulterer, the homosexual, the impure, the sensual, the drunkard will not inherit the kingdom of God. And you may look at the bum on the street and think you're better than him. But that's not the case. You may look at the prostitute and say, that's the sensual one. That's the sexually immoral, but not me. But what did Christ say? Christ said, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, it's the same as committing adultery with her. How many adulterers are in this place just with their even own mind, not even with their actions? What does it say? The homosexual, the impure, the sensual, the drunkard will not inherit the kingdom of God. These are the pleasures of this life. Isn't that what the TV says? Isn't that what it's selling today? The word says it's the world says it's okay. Buddies encourage it. Marketing uses it. But Jesus said it'll send you to hell. And Mark 4:18 adds this to this list of thorns. Listen to this one. The desire for other things. That'll choke out the Word of God. That'll send you to hell. The desire for other things. Seemingly insignificant. Not even named. Other things. Cars and careers. Sports and sex. Leisure and lifestyles. Affluence and addresses. Other things. How many people place more emphasis on playing video games than reading God's Word and obeying it? I tell you, other things will choke out the Word of God. Many people have greater interest in the people on their favorite reality show than the person of Jesus Christ. These are other things. And very few people will gain the world and lose their soul. Many simply lose it on account of other things. It's a tragedy. How many millions of people will lose their soul over other things? Other things will choke out the word and send you to hell. The cares, the riches, the pleasures of this world, and other things, all of which will choke out the word of God, render the hearer unfruitless and the soul condemned. These are the first three of the four soils. The word of God fell on hard hearts, on stony hearts, on thorny hearts, indifferent hearts, superficial hearts, and worldly hearts. Three soils. Although signs of life appeared in two of the three, no fruit was born. I've said it multiple times and it bears repeating. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut off and thrown into the fire. So do you bear fruit? But I'm not talking about trees, am I? I'm talking about souls. I'm talking about your soul. I'm talking about people in this room. And finally, there's good soil. Let's look at Luke 8:15. As for that in the good soil, they are those who hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. This soil is evidence of cultivation. This isn't just some random soil out there. You look at random soil. You look at an untilled lot. What does it bear? It bears only weeds and thorns. But you look at a well-cultivated soil. You look at a well-cultivated field. What does it bear? Fruit. And I tell you, our Lord, He is a good cultivator. It says, you have not chosen me. I've chosen you. And ordained, I've purposed, it will be a sure fact. If I have chosen you, you will bear much fruit. If you abide in Christ, you will bear fruit. There's a fruit of righteousness that leads to eternal life. If you say you're a Christian, you will bear fruit. If you don't bear fruit, you are not a Christian. These are the people who really hear the word of God. They take it into their heart. They believe it wholeheartedly and obey it thoroughly. They hear the word of God and hold it fast with an honest and good heart, which having heard the word, they understand it, says Matthew. They accept it, says Mark. And they hold it fast, says Luke. As the soil not only receives, but it keeps the seed. The word of God, are you keeping it? Are you holding it? Are you applying it? Does it shape and fashion your life? They hold the word of God fast. This means to keep it to secure, to keep it, keep a firm possession of it, to retain it, as opposed to allowing Satan just to snatch it up. Have you come to share in Christ? Or we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm until the end. You will know those who share in Christ, who have been saved by Christ. They hold their original confidence. They hold to the word of God fast. They hold it firm. They don't let it go. They place their hope nowhere else but in Christ. They hold it firm to the end. In these, the fruit of righteousness and truth will be plainly seen and unmistakable. Sin will be truly hated and mourned over, resisted and renounced. Christ will be truly loved, trusted in, and followed. Holiness will be shown in their conversations and humility and spiritual mindedness, patience and meekness and love. Their good fruit will be clearly seen, as a true work of the Spirit cannot be hidden. As I said, there's no mistaking cultivated land and uncultivated land. Our heavenly husband makes sure that his children bear fruit. But man in his native state, the state in which they are born, they only bear sin and adultery, idolatry and resistance. they kick against the Word of God. They bear fruit. The Christian bears fruit. Of this fruit, there may be varying degrees and experiences and attainment. Some will bring forth fruit 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. But the fruit will always be of the same kind. There will be visible repentance. There will be visible faith in Christ. There will be visible holiness of life. Is this you? Again, don't lose me. Is this you in this place? Which one of the four resembles you the most? Only the last one is a Christian. The first three bear no fruit and perish. You may be asking me, how do I know which soil I am? The test again, do you bear fruit? I'm not asking if you're a good American citizen. Not asking if you do nice things for people. Because there's many philanthropists in hell. I'm asking, do you bear fruit? I'm not asking if you go to church. I'm not asking if you read your Bible. I'm not asking if you pray. I'm asking if those things have any bearing on your life. Have those things changed your life? I'm asking if you bear fruit. Do you bear fruit in keeping with repentance? Do you bear fruit that's consistent with the Scriptures? Do you bear fruit as a result of abiding in Christ? Do you bear fruit that glorifies God? Do you bear the fruit of the indwelling Spirit? Since you first heard the Word of God, since you first heard of Jesus Christ, has it changed your life? Do you bear fruit? Or are you just as hard and disinterested as you've always been? Are your pursuits the same as they have always been? Or do you desire something new? Do you desire Jesus Christ? Do you desire to be holy? Because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. If any of these first three soils describe you, the hardened heart, the stony heart, the thorny heart, you're still in your sin. Turn, hear the Word of God, believe in Jesus Christ, and be healed. But if your life resembles a well-watered garden, if it bears witness that God is your husbandman and that He's pruning you, that He's removing things from your life that hinder you, if you're bearing fruit, you're a Christian. It's the infallible test of the Word of God. Those who abide in Christ will bear fruit. So a man stood in a pulpit and preached the Word of God. And the Word fell on hard hearts, on stony hearts and thorny hearts. The indifferent, the superficial and the worldly. But it also fell on good hearts. The heart that has been changed and regenerate by the Holy Spirit. The heart that is a heart of flesh and made new. I'll come to a close with just some words of application. Where do you fall? Only four, not a fifth. There's no elastic category that just works for me. The Bible bears witness against that fifth person. They don't exist. Only four. How have you responded to the Word of God in this hour? Those whose hearts are hardened and resemble the path. My application to you, James 1:21. Put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your soul. Receive the Word of God with meekness. Don't rise up in pride. Pride will harden your heart. Pride goes before a fall. But with meekness, bow before the cross. Humble yourself before God. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Receive with meekness the implanted Word of God, which is able to save your soul. Will you save face or save your soul in this place? Meekness. Receiving the Word of God that is able to save your soul. To the rocky soil, the hardened heart, the heart that's full of stones. call out to the one who is able to remove your hard heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Call out to the one who not only writes his law on your heart, but gives you his spirit and causes you to walk in his statutes. The one who said he will deliver you from all your uncleanliness and cleanse you from all your idols. Call out to that one. Ezekiel 36, Jeremiah 31, Jeremiah 33, all these things God will do in those who call upon His name. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. All who plead the blood of Christ, the blood of the new covenant, will be welcomed in, grafted in. The terms of that new covenant will be executed in your life. Call out to that one who spilled His blood to issue a new covenant. To the thorny soil, the worldly heart. Know that to be a friend of the world is to make yourself an enemy of God. Do not be deceived. The world is passing away. The pleasures, the riches, the cares, and other things, they're all passing away. They're all temporal. And they're taking souls with them. Repent of your sin. Forsake the world. Could be much in the same. Flee from all rampant wickedness. Run to Christ. Receive the implanted Word of God with meekness and be saved. Seek Christ above all things. Don't seek the things of this world. They're fleeting. They're faster than you. And they're going to hell. That's where they lead. Repent of your sins. Go to the one who said, He will be your God and you shall be my people. And lastly, application to the good soil. Continue to abide in Christ. Hold fast Christ. Hold fast to Him. It's only by abiding in Him that you'll bear any fruit. Apart from Him, you can do nothing. Abide in Christ. Abide in Him that you would continue to bear fruit. Abide even closer. It's the branch with the strongest connection that gets the most nutrients and bears the most fruit. Abide closely to Christ. Submit to the Father's pruning that you may bear more fruit. My dear brethren, hold fast the confession of your hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Hold fast no matter the storm, no matter the onslaught of the enemy. Hold fast to Christ. Endure to the end and you will be saved. The word of God has been sown and time will tell, time will reveal, time will disclose. Your reaction, your response to the preaching of the word of God will reveal the condition and state of your eternal, never dying soul. So do you bear fruit? If you remain indifferent and unaffected, if you only believe for a while and then fall away when testing comes, if you go your own way, and the cares and the riches and the pleasures and other things prevent you from bearing fruit, on the day of your death or the day of Christ's return, He will gather you, you will be cut off and thrown into the fire. Do you bear fruit? But if you receive the word of God, you bear the fruit of righteousness, you will be saved. He who has ears, let him hear. Amen.